Well, we are in the Christmas season that we have every year. I don't have to tell you that. All you got to do is look around and listen, turn on the TV, and listen to all the Hallmark Christmas stories. They all have the same. You know what's going to happen before it starts, and so they're all the same, just different characters, different landscape, and different story. But we are in that Christmas season that the Lord has blessed us with the birth of His Son, and we thank the Lord tonight that we can come together in His name and can proclaim the good things of His Word to us and the great things that He has done done for us. And tonight, rather than since we're thinking about the Christmas time, but I'm going to reverse it a little bit and think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I put a title here, Preaching His Death During Christmas Season. And you don't have Christmas unless you get to that part of His life. Even though He was born, and born miraculously, and without that particular virgin birth, we would not have any salvation at all. But it doesn't stop with His birth. It doesn't stop with His sinless life. He was a special person, never did any sin. No, Bible says no guile or no wickedness found in his mouth or in His life. I've often wondered, and we've even talked about it even this week, wonder what kind of a young boy Jesus was. I know He never lied to His parents because He's not a sinner. And so you talk about a perfect child, you talk about a perfect example. I believe He would be that even in His childhood, but especially in His life. He is that special person that came and was born a particular way, a way that nobody else has ever been born. He lived a way that nobody else has ever lived. He died a death like nobody else has ever died. And so we look forward to His coming. The world knows nothing about that, but we look forward to it. We can see the things that take place, as we even talked about earlier, and can realize, according to the Word of God, we're living in the last days. Now, I believe those last days have been here a long time, and we're in the latter portion of that time frame that's called the latter days or the last days, and that is the coming of the Lord. And it ought not to shock us that the whole world is against Israel. The whole world tonight, there's no friend that Israel has except the United States. Britain used to be, but Britain is not a good ally now. There's too many factions. There's too many Muslims that have overtaken so many portions of the British economy. And so they are no longer a true friend to the nation of Israel, but America is, and thank God for that. And I'm glad I'm living in a time that that we can see the outpouring of the blessings that God would give our nation, that we would support God's nation. Even though they're in disbelief, they're in unbelief, I do not believe that a person goes to heaven just because he's a Jew, like some people preach and teach, but they are still God's national people. And one day He will make a new nation out of them like He made a new person out of us. And the Bible says a nation will be born in a day. And certain things are in the works, and certain things are taking place to get everything ready for the coming of the Lord. But none of those things would matter if it was not for His birth and His death. And so tonight I want to think just a little bit about what, because of His birth and death, how has that affected you and I, and how does it bless us as a believer? You see, God, everything the Lord does is a very special thing. Israel is a special nation. We know that from reading the Scripture. It is a nation that has been called out by God, and if you want to use the word elect nation, that certainly does fit Israel. That I believe much of what Romans tells us about election is toward Israel, and the choosing of a nation to be a spreader of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are a special people. And as I mentioned a while ago, Jesus is a special person. And thank God He has made us special in the eyes of the Lord. We are His people. Read with me tonight, if you would, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. When you come to the latter chapters of the Gospels, it's always about the crucifixion. It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. And tonight, we read in chapter number 23, verse number 33, very, very many times used these verses, especially Easter time and other times. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, says, "And when they were come to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." If he be the Messiah, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God, those elders of Israel and those leaders of Israel, religious and political leaders both, they said, if he be who he said he is, let him save himself. And of course they let out that message, let his blood be on our hands and our children's hand. And certainly they have, the Jew has suffered because of that oath that was made, let his blood be on our hands. And so therefore tonight they are a hated people. And they are a people that is despised by everybody around them. And it's amazing when you look on a map, if a person wasn't acquainted with geography, you'd think Israel was a large, very important nation that you could spot real easily on a map. But it's not very large at all. And I forget what the land mass is in comparison to our state. I think it may be New Jersey or one of those smaller states, land mass wise. And so, but there's that little nation that was given back life in 1948. And really and truly it was given life because not only of America but also of Great Britain. And they were very very usable and very influential in carving out that people and that place and after World War II. And so we find that they have taken him to Calvary and there he dies. And I've heard people say, well, Jesus was a man dying for man. Well, he was a man, but he was more than a man dying for a man. I've heard people say that Jesus was a martyr. Well, humanly speaking, you could classify him as a martyr. But really, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was the death of God for wicked, sinful mankind. And there he took our place, and the place of death became a place of deliverance for you and I. And not only us, but for anyone that would believe. He came to his own, they wouldn't receive him, but to those that will receive him, he says, I'll make you children of God, sons of God. And so that place of Calvary that was a place of death becomes a place of deliverance. And we have many blessings because of that. We have spiritual health given to us because of his death. We have spiritual life given to us. We have protection physically and spiritually from the enemy. There we have the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of our mind and the perfection of things in our life that we become more mature and adult in our life. And so what the Lord did there on Calvary was a very special thing that he did. And because of his birth, his perfect life, and the ending of his physical life upon this earth, and there, as far as Calvary is concerned, we have many, many blessings, many things that we can look to in the Scripture. And because of his death, we have these blessings given to us. And Sunday morning during Sunday school, Brother Gallagher dealt with that a little bit about those spiritual blessings. And he made the statement that after 4 or 5, it becomes very hard to come up with a spiritual blessing. And I was sitting back there, and I said, well, he's right. It's difficult because we are so physically minded. We are so fleshly minded that that's the only blessings we think that we have. But my, we have some spiritual blessings that the Scripture says that we're even sitting in the heavenlies with Him in Christ Jesus. And because of this, God has given us multiple blessings. And I'm going to look at just two or three of them tonight. And these are things that we all can think about. These are things that we all can relate to because of Calvary, because of just the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight I can say I have hope. I think maybe somebody mentioned that Sunday morning. We have hope in the Lord. And it's not a hope so that we may make it or we might be okay. It is a hope that is steadfast and sure in the blessed Word of God, that we know for sure that God has given us certain things. Psalm 33, verse number 21, it says, "For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hope in Thee." We have a hope that's in Jesus Christ. We have a hope that is in God, that is not a question mark, not a maybe so, but is a hope that is a firm foundation that we depend upon Him for all those things. And tonight, that is a spiritual blessing that we can have in our life. I have a hope that is, the song says, it's steadfast and sure. And so tonight we have that because of his death, because of His birth, because of His life, all those things connected with the workings of the Lord. And we have a hope that will make us a blessed people. Tonight we are a blessed people. We may not consider and think about it very much, but we are blessed. I hear a lot of times when you greet someone and you ask them how they're doing, they say, "I'm blessed." That's a pretty good greeting, because we are blessed and we have multiple blessings upon us physically and spiritually. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is whose hope the Lord is." And so we have a blessed being and a person that lives within us through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection. Thank God this afternoon I have a hope that is built upon Him. We have a hope that is steadfast. We have a blessed hope of His coming again. Titus tells us about that blessed hope. And it is a hope. It is a desire. And it is blessed because we have that given to us in the word of the Lord. So that hope that I read about here in Psalm 33, according as we have hope in Thee, that hope makes us a blessed people. And to think about and to write down and to meditate upon the blessings that He has given us. He's given us life physically. We are all here tonight because God permitted us to be born. We are here tonight as a direct result of the creative act of our God. And so I have a life tonight physically because of the hope that we have in Christ. And of course, Jesus in His life was the perfect example of of all these things that we deal with, and so His life gives us not only physical life, which is a miracle. The miracle of life, doctors still can't explain how all that happens and all the workings of it and the integral parts of it. The mind is that mechanism of our body that directs everything. And it's still a very mysterious thing how the mind works. I read somewhere that we only use about 1/100th of our brain. I think I don't use that much sometimes. I don't hardly think I use as much as I could or should. But we don't use the capacity that God has given to us. And that could be, that's... one thing is said there in the book of Genesis when they were building the tower that they said was going to heaven. The Lord said, "If we don't confuse their language, there will be nothing withheld from them." Can you imagine the last 10 or 15 years the advancements that have been made in electronics, the advancement that's been made in medical field, and every field you want to think about, the brain, the mind continually is expanding its ability to do certain things that was thought of years ago as impossible. I can remember as a kid, of course, we had telephones in the house, and sort of like BR-549, that type of thing, that you'd get on there and you'd hear somebody talking, and you'd have to, excuse me, I need to use the phone, that party line, and you hope they didn't pick it up while you're using it about something, but that is so foreign, and I can remember thinking when I was just a kid how it would be if we had a telephone and we could see the person we was talking to. Well, guess what? We're there. And so the advancements are rapidly upon us, and that life that God gives us and that mind that God gives us, we are blessed tonight to be able to do and to have the things that we have. Some of the surgeries that people have now are very minor that used to be very major because of the technology and the laser and just everything. And so the mind is a wonderful mechanism of our body that when works correctly can do marvelous things. And so we are blessed tonight by life physically, but all that doesn't amount to anything when you consider the spiritual life that we have in Christ. And everything that is within us now, one day we'll hold that in perfection there in the glory of heaven and in the presence of the Lord. And our life eternal will be with Him forever. So we are blessed by His life. We are blessed by His love. Thank God we sing tonight songs about the Lord loves. And thank God He loves me, loves even me, and takes care of us. And so we are blessed tonight with the love of the Lord. And so that hope that I have makes me a blessed person. That hope that I have also should make me a blessing person. It should in not only just taking in, but it should make it where it's possible for me to give out some blessings also and to be a blessing to others. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying unto Himself a peculiar people." All those, that statement to that point, it's a continuation of a statement that He might and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. The Lord's done all those things that we would be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, desiring to be a blessing. To be zealous means you're actively involved. Paul would have been considered a Pharisee zealot. He was a very zealous Jew. He was very active in the Jews' religion. And he thought he was doing everything right until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he turned his zeal from what he used to be and turned his zeal into a person that could be used of God and certainly was a blessing and is still a blessing to the Christian world. Probably, other than Christ, no one man has influenced as many people around the world than the Apostle Paul. He being dead, he still speaks. He gives to us the message and inspired of the Lord. And so that hope that comes with us and to us by the continual and the complete life of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us blessed and should make us a blessing to others. Not only do I have hope, but thank God I have happiness. Now, happiness is something, a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the being of a person. Now, my joy is down deep. What's that song the kids used to sing? I have joy, joy, joy. Where? Down in my soul. That's the joy of the Lord. And when we have that joy, thank God there's some happiness that's expressed to us and through us as a child of God. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse number 15, Blessed is that people whose God is the Lord, whose God is Jehovah. A lot of gods in this world, a lot of different titles and a lot of different people. All of them dead but ours, but there's a lot of people that worship different ideologies and different people that have lived and made an impression upon the world. Even if it was a bad impression, they still follow after them. But the scripture says, happy is that people. You know, that is, that's Christians. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And that word Lord is capital O-R-D, all of them capitals, and that's the word for Jehovah. Now, they may want to worship Allah, but I'm glad I worship Jehovah. They may want to worship Buddha, but happy is the person, happy is the people whose God is Jehovah. And thank God tonight we have not only a hope, but we have a happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what has given to us in our soul. We rejoice in what he does for us. I think it would probably frighten us if the Lord would pull back the shades just a little bit and let us see the battle that goes on around us spiritually. The Bible talks about principalities and powers in high places. It talks about the heavenlies. It talks about those things that take place. And if the Lord would just let us see all the battles that are going on just to protect us, the devil would kill you and I in a moment if he could get by with that. He would destroy every Christian because he hates the child of God. He hates the child of God because we love the child of the King. We are in a different world. We're in a different economy. Everything is different. And the devil, Satan, hates us, and he will try his best to destroy. And part of what goes on in the tribulation is that the devil unleashes his hatred, first of all, upon the Jew. He unleashes that upon God's people and tries to destroy them. And he's had his cohorts down through history. He's had his workers down through history that's tried to annihilate the Jew. Hitler tried, Mussolini tried, Stalin tried. All those men that have come up against the people of God and the land of the Lord, where are they? They're almost, some of them, almost forgotten about. Don't hear much about them. But they were cohorts of the wicked one trying to destroy the people of God. But the Lord protected them. And many times in the Bible, we can read about miraculous things that the Lord did to protect his people. There's one time the Lord let the leader look and said all kind of armament, battle with people was around him. And the Lord's army was there unnoticed, but yet he won the battle through the work of the Lord. I've read some things about the Six-Day War in 67. There were some miraculous things that took place in that war, some things out of the ordinary. And of course, Israel swept through that whole land and regained. That's when they regained Jerusalem and the whole city. Up to that point, it was a divided city, and the Christian could not even go into the religious areas that we would hold dear. But in that Six-Day War, Israel took all that back, and they still have it. I don't think they'll ever give it back. And so there's a protection upon God's people. And we have that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his protection is there for us, and we can rejoice in that. I'm glad tonight he doesn't let the devil be unleashed on me like he did Job. Job had all kind of struggles, all kind of problems, and the Lord knew everything that was going on. And the Lord permitted that for a purpose and for a reason. I don't want that to happen, but if it does to any of us, nothing comes my way, nothing comes your way that God does not know about. And there's not a thing comes my way or your way that he cannot handle. He can take care of it. He can make it better and make it well. So we rejoice in his protection. We rejoice in what he has given to us. I believe joy is the privilege of every believer, to have the joy of the Lord. The scriptures talk much about that joy and that happiness that we have in Christ. We live in a world that knows very little about joy. Now, they know a whole lot about fun, but fun doesn't last too long. Joy is there forever. And so that is a privilege that the believer has, that we are blessed of him. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 about the power. We can see the power of God. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. We have an inheritance that nobody else has. The scripture says it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven. And the only way we get there is through the power of God, the presence and the power of our Lord. So tonight we, coming into the Christmas season, thank God we have hope. You may not have much hope in the lines. I was out at the mall the other day. I walked through there for some, forget now why I was out there. And I went by this one store, and Massenville Mall is not that busy most of the time. And I walked by this one store, and they were lined up from the back of the store all the way out to the through the walkway through the area all the way back to the other side. I said, "What in the world?" And I looked up, they buy three get free, and so people wanted to get that three free along with what they bought. And so I walked around there. I said, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not going in that place. I would have changed my mind if I had been." And so we have all these things that God gives to us that we can rejoice in, the hope that we have, the happiness that we have. And then lastly tonight, we have a heavenly home. Well, I'm glad this world is not my home. Just passing through. If it's too hot, we want it cold. If it's too cold, we want it hot. Very seldom is it just right. If it is, it doesn't last too long. And then if it's just right, it causes all kind of physical problems and all the things we go through as they change from one season to the other. But we have a heavenly home that has been promised unto us. And he that made the promise never will break a promise. He'll never take it back. As the Lord hung dying on the tree, he gave assurance to the thief. Just a simple request that thief made. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That's from a dying man. He had no hope of escape. Just a few more moments and he would be in eternity. And he said, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And thank God for the message Jesus gave to that man. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a wonderful message, Eddie. What a hope we have. What a heavenly home we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Lord didn't say, "Well, after your soul goes to sleep and after 1,000 years, you might make it." I'm glad the Lord said, "Today." And by the way, that thief wasn't baptized. He didn't go through all the things that other religions say you have to have in order to go to heaven. All you have to do to go to heaven is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I had someone tell me just the other day, he said, "Well, I believe people go to heaven when they do the best they can with the knowledge they have." Well, that's not a whole lot of hope. That's no hope at all. And I'm glad tonight I have hope in Jesus Christ. And it's not doing the best that I can, but it's accepting the best that God had. And that's his son. Thank God tonight I have hope, I have happiness, and I have a heavenly home. I have a home that when I lay my head down here and pass off into the unknown we know of as eternity, and we don't know very much about eternity. There's not a whole lot of things in Scripture about eternity. But what I do know, I'm going to enjoy it. What I know about it right now, it's going to be okay. And what I don't know, we'll just build upon what we know from the Scripture. And so we have an eternal home in the heavens. We have the joy of knowing that when we leave this world, there's a better world out there. There's a better time, a better place, and no more sorrows and problems. It's an assuring promise. What an assurance it is. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, wouldn't it have given that thief a whole lot of assurance that the Lord said, well, I hope you can do good enough to make it in these next 2 hours. Hope you have the right thoughts and hope you make as good as you can. No, that thief had seen and he had heard the words, those seven utterances that the Lord had made. He had heard those at least probably five or six of them up to that point, and he was convinced. He told that other thief on the other cross, he said, we're here rightfully. We're here because of our deeds, and he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And he says, Lord, remember me. And I'll tell you what, one of these days I'm going to meet him, and you're going to meet him as a believer. And he was, when he left this world, guess where he went? He went to paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a story. What a blessing that is to have a heavenly home, an assurance, an amazing promise that God gives to us. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be. Thank the Lord tonight we have a home waiting, you and I. So when we think about the Christmas season, thank God for the birth of our Lord. I surely would never belittle the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. That's just the start as far as his earthly sojourn. And he was born there and lay in the manger. And from that moment on until he was taken up into glory was his life. And he gave his life physically for you and I that we might have this hope, this happiness, and this home. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ the Savior. Let's stand together tonight.